Welcome everyone to Doing Business with a Servant's Heart. I am super excited, super pumped. Dr. Robert Martinez, I've known him probably close to over 20 years, been a patient over 15 years. I love this guy more than most people because we connect. But Dr. Robert Martinez is a chiropractor. He's also the owner of Chiropractic Wellness Center. And he's also done many other things. He's got many awards. Dr. Martinez, I want to welcome you to the show.
Steve, thank you. Well, you know, right back at you, I have actually known you and your deceased father, God bless his soul, for 25 years. And I don't think I've ever shared this story with you. We got to tell you. Now, Steve walks his talk. And, you know, since I've met you, you've always done that. And I just consider it, you know, a blessing and an honor to call you a friend and a patient. You know, and what I never shared with you before was, you know, our first association was at the gym and through your father, and they ran a phenomenal facility. But thing is, you know, I was working with several other gyms at the time because I was a specialist in sports injuries at the time. So I was at contacts and associations with other, you know, fine gyms. But I chose to really focus and work with you and your father because you had that something extra special. And, you know, I knew you were a man of faith, but you walked it. And that really attracted me to you. Even though it wasn't the most convenient, it was, you know, the gym was a lot further from my office. I just chose to work with you and your father because of your godliness, because of your passion for other people and the business that you were in. And so it's no mistake that was a very successful gym. And I just really grew from that relationship. So right back at you, you know, Steve, it's been an honor and privilege to call you a friend and a patient for all these years. And it's great to see you develop and flourish and the goodness that you're doing. And, you know, that you had that servant's heart for a very long time. This isn't something new, but I've seen it grow. And I love that about you. And I just wish you all the best with, you know, this program as well. And feel honored to be on it.
Yeah, well, Dr. Burris, I'm honored too, like I said. And I want to mention that the Chiropractic Wellness Center is in Campbell, California. His information will be in the show notes if you want to reach out and talk to him. He's going to give us some great information today, so you may want to reach out and ask questions or watch this show again. And I want to start, I know a little bit about your background, but why chiropractic? Because you're a smart guy. You could have done many things.
Yes. You know, I was a pre-med student at UC Davis. And I, you know, love the human body, you know, just everything about it to this day, I'm very passionate about. So it seemed like natural to go into medicine. But when I actually started applying to medical school and actually working in the hospital, I really was a little disheartened. I had worked so very hard to get all the great grades, you know, to be able to get my first and second choice of medical school. So I thought, well, you know, I do a clerkship, start working in the hospital to really, you know, nail my first or second choice of medical schools. But the more I worked in the hospital, the more disengaged I became. It was very apparent to me that there was a lot of medications, a lot of drugs, you know, and it was a very sick place. And God bless, you know, gosh, you know, the nurses and doctors that work in these environments. But it just wasn't for me. I was much more oriented. I was a collegiate athlete. So I was much more oriented to exercise, diet, nutrition. And this is, you know, in the 80s. It's certainly more popular now, but that's not what was really happening in the hospital at the time. And so I started looking for other types of things to get into that I could do with all this, you know, background of chemistry and anatomy and in the physics that I had had. But I was having headaches and they turned into actually terrible migraines. And I had lived with these for a long time and I thought it was familiar because my mom had had some. But finally, several people, after, you know, seeing that I was suffering and that the medications weren't working anymore, and the diagnosis I kept getting was stress. But I didn't buy that because, yeah, I was under stress. I was a pre-med student, but everyone else around me was also taking the same courses and they weren't laying down, you know, just wishing for a regular headache. So I was really suffering. And the meds started getting stronger and stronger to the point where they gave me opioids. And, you know, that was had some side effects. It made me difficult for me to focus and concentrate. And I needed to do that. So finally, after several people told me to go to a chiropractor, in fact, I used to call them quackopractors, I decided, you know what, at least I know they don't deal in drugs. At least I want to go get an opinion. And when I went, it was really quite miraculous. Mind you, I had been at the teaching hospital, so I got the best of the best opinions, neurologists, orthopedists, internal medicine, endocrinologists. I mean, I'd done the whole gamut. And it was the chiropractor who ultimately found out that I had pinched nerves in my neck from a whitewater rafting accident that I had 3 years prior. And, you know, I had the CAT scans and MRIs of the brain, but no one had checked just inches below where the nerves can oftentimes get pinched. And that's in fact what happened. They'd taken x-rays, they found where the vertebra had misaligned, blocked the nerve flow and caused, you know, a problem with the nerves going up to the brain, ear, nose, throat, and eyes. So the chiropractor really gently, you know, adjusted those areas, unpinched the nerves, you know, the nerve blockage, and it was magic. That's the only way I could describe it at the time, because mine had been suffering really bad for three solid years, but I had headaches my whole life. So not only did these migraines go away, but eventually the tension headaches went away. My ability to focus, think, and concentrate just improved exponentially. It was almost as if I had been asleep for 5 years. And I was so taken by the results. I immediately started, you know, visiting other chiropractors, like, well, maybe this guy's just this freak faith healer, or, you know, just has this magic hand. Well, it turns out, you know, lots of other chiropractors were doing the same thing. And I was, you know, just excited about the prospect of helping people without drugs or surgery. I mean, I really just opened up a whole new mindset for me that, oh, wow, I didn't know chiropractors did this. You know, I thought it was just about neck aches, headaches, back aches, which they're great at. But I also witnessed after visiting their offices, several offices, you know, people having energy, people losing weight, you know, people who were depressed, no longer depressed, watching people who had, you know, medications that they were on, no longer taking medications because they had good nerve flow from their brain to their rest of their body. And it just made sense to me. Yeah, I didn't know everything about it at the time, but it just made sense that the brain controls everything and there's somehow blockages to that vital nerve flow from the brain to the rest of the body. It's never good to have that compromise. And if a chiropractor can correct that, improve the nerve flow, well, that makes sense that if the body is a self-healing, self-regulating mechanism, that healing power from God that is in us, it's not just in some of us, it's in every one of us. If that healing power can go unimpeded, it makes sense that, God, the body's going to heal well, as long as you don't abuse it. You know,
right.
You know, think properly, eat properly, move properly, and have good nerve flow. Well, that's really what you need. That's what we were all given at birth. So, so through the chiropractic education, I learned a lot more about that, a lot more details about this, all the neurology and anatomy of that, and even, you know, more recently, even the physics of proper nerve flow and energy flowing through your body. So that's the story. That's how I became a chiropractor. And, you know, I'm just as enthusiastic today as I was, you know, 32 years ago when I started. And I would say even more so in many respects. So
Dr. Martinez, yeah. And what's interesting to me, the lesson I just gleaned from what you just said is you had your eyes open to a calling. It was a calling by your injury. But how many people out there when they do business see a calling like that and don't act on it? You acted on it. Look where you are today, right?
Oh, well, yes. You know, and I got, you know, that's a good point, Steve, too, because, you know, it wasn't I think people oftentimes mistake a calling for, you know, the C parts and you get this big symbol and, you know, but it's more of a whisper. I think it starts as a whisper, a nudging, an urging that you can't avoid, but it's there. And everything was kind of moving against that, you know, my real calling, because it didn't make sense. You know, it was like, I headed to medical school. That was going to happen. You know, everything was in place. My plans were going that direction. My mom was a nurse. It's what I had nearly dedicated my life to for, you know, a solid, 6 years because I started out as an engineer, so I had to switch to pre-med. So it took an extra couple of years to get all the pre-med courses after having done engineering. So it just didn't logically make sense, but it made sense in here, you know, that gentle urging of the spirit is what finally, you know, had me to, you know, just to have the faith that, hey, you know what, this is the direction. This is the, because if it wasn't, I've learned recently, sometimes we force things, you know, and sometimes we, you know, by sure will, we want to force a certain thing, but that takes a lot of effort and energy. But I think if you gently be quiet and listen and have faith and know that, you know, if it's your path, that it's going to get stronger, the urging to do something about it is going to get stronger and stronger.
Right.
If it's the right path for you. If it's not, then it's going to fade.
It'll figure itself out.
It'll fade. I'm certain of that for everybody. So I think it's sometimes it takes us a humble spirit to say, listen, God, I'm, this is what I'd like to do. This is my urging. This is what I kind of feel is right for me, but you know best, let thy will be thy way. Right. So I think it's really putting up this, when we put up, well, hey, is this my path? You know, because if it isn't, I think that the urging is going to go away. If it is, it's going to get stronger and stronger. And then, in your heart,
right,
in your soul, that it's the right path for you.
Yeah. But you did another lesson, and this is why I love you on my show, and you can come back, because you just told us another lesson, pivoting, which is magical in business. COVID taught us all that. With pivoting, you did that. You pivoted from medical, 6 years, family background, to chiropractic. And I'm sure you got pushback. That's what I love about you. And that's why I had him on my show. Learn that lesson, listeners, pivoting. Another word you said we're going to get into, it's my favorite magical word, mindset. So talk to us about mindset.
Oh, yeah. I think we hear it a lot, right? We hear, get the right mindset. And I agree with that 100%. But I think where it devolves is that if we don't put action behind our mindset, if we don't continually improve our mindset, and that takes a little bit of work. Let's be honest about this. We oftentimes live in a negative media world, and it's unavoidable. When you go to check your emails or want to look up an informational YouTube, it's all there. You go down the streets, you're in a store. There's a lot of negative influences out there. Let's not deny that. But what that means, though, is you just have to be more vigilant about what you let into this precious real estate up here. This is what you own. This is the only thing you own, really. This is what you own. And, when you allow things to be input into it, you can dilute yourself or let yourself be diluted by just casual exposure to negative things. I mean, think about it. You wouldn't go into a garage, nor would you let your family or your kids sit in a garage with a engine running and the doors closed. That's going to pollute them. Now, it doesn't immediately pollute them. You could breathe that air for a while, but over time, you just wouldn't allow that to occur. The same thing with, you wouldn't let your children, young children, just go out to any mall and just let them free. It's like, go make friends, just talk to whoever you want to talk to. You just wouldn't do that. But yet that's what, social media is all about. I mean, anybody in the world could have access to your kids, and they have access to lots of filth, lots of misinformation and outright ungodly things. So I think it's really important. If you wouldn't allow your children to do it, why would you allow yourself? So it's not good for your children, probably not good for you either. So it's really vital, if we want to maintain a wonderful, wholesome mindset, then we have to be really vigilant about designing our environment so that we have this constant input of good information. I want to congratulate your listeners. You're obviously doing that right now. Subscribing to, this podcast with Steve is a way of getting continual positive input, because Steve vets each of his hosts. and his guests. And do you know that, you know, listening to this is going to be a positive, uplifting experience and true. So those are important things to remember, that you, you know, really design your environment for success. Design environments, find yourself, push yourself, put yourself in environments that will continually feed your mindset and your soul so that you can be a more effective player in the world, not in business, but to your family, you know, to your friends.
You know, you do something unique, which is when you mentioned before the show mindset. How do you, and I know you've done it with me because I'm a patient. How do you weave in mindset with chiropractic? Because they're really two different things, but I know you do it very well, which makes you different as a chiropractor. But walk us through that journey of mindset and chiropractic.
Yeah. You know, it really comes down to making sure that the patients, and I love my patients so dearly, but, I'm very, very good at what I do, finding nerve blockages and correcting them gently through chiropractic adjustments and allowing the body to heal itself to that proper nerve flow from the brain to the rest of the body and from the body to the brain. But there's so many things that we do on a day-to-day basis that cause those misalignments. You know, the biggest one, and a lot of people think, oh yeah, it's impacts, you know, traumas. Certainly there's the T's, right? The traumas. There's also the toxins, and that is, you know, what you put in your food, your mouth, and what you breathe and what you eat. And what you don't eat, right? So, and then of course there's the big one too, and we call it thoughts, you know. And of these three things, it's the thoughts that will undo my work faster than anything else.
Wow. Stress. I didn't know that.
Stress, thoughts, anguish, are the things that will undo and are probably responsible for more suffering on earth than just about any other thing. And I'll give you an example of this. If, you know, let's imagine you were fifth grade, broken arm. Many of your listeners might have broke something before, but 20, 30, 40 years after the fact, if I had you describe a broken bone in your body that occurred 30, 40, 50 years ago, you could describe it, where it broke, that you wore a cast, but I guarantee you, you probably couldn't conjure up the pain of that broken arm. You couldn't do it. But if I said, hey, and many of you listeners, I can invite you to do it right now. Can you remember a time in fifth grade when you were really humiliated or really embarrassed or bullied? And I let you think about that a little longer. It wouldn't be too long before you felt depressed, before you actually were able to relive the humiliation, the embarrassment, the shame that occurred 40, 50 years ago. Isn't that fascinating? You know, you can't summon up the suffering of a broken bone, but you can of an emotional insult, even 30, 40, 50 years ago. And if you start to dwell on that, you would feel really bad.
I did not know any of this. This is so cool.
So I think this is why it's so very important to have that mindset. You know, if you're constantly rehashing traumas and things that happened in your childhood or later, or even last week, you know, that will interfere with your purpose to thrive. That'll interfere with your mindset to succeed and thrive. So I think it's vital. So how do we weave that in? You know, we talk about it here at the office, you know, and we have daily messages, positive affirmations, and we ask questions as well. It's really good to ask yourself questions, you know, using the Socratic method, you know, and I might step on a few toes here, but I'm going to go there again because I want your audience to really get this concept. We have ideas about where health and wellness comes from. But I got to tell you, those people who are the healthiest people on the planet, who absolutely thrive, one of the things they all have in common is they take responsibility for your actions and behaviors and the things that you can control. And they don't act as victims. And I'll give you an example of that right now. And again, you know, I'm very sensitive about this, so please don't mistake what I'm telling you. But you hear this comment, oh, John came in and got everybody sick. And then I'm sick because I was exposed to John's germs. The question I ask then is somebody is, well, listen, did John come in contact at work with just you or everyone? Well, everyone. Well, I got to say, you know, Steve, did everybody get sick? Well, no. Well, how could that be? You know, how is it that you know, everyone was exposed to the germs generally, but you perhaps got sick and someone else didn't. What's the difference? And that's a really important question to ask, because if you leave it at face value, and then you said John made you sick, well, there's nothing you can do to prevent John from wandering around, or anybody for that matter, to pollute your environment. So, but the question really, again, is, hey, what was different? Why did some people get sick and others not? Well, then you can, now we can work with that. Now we say, well, you know, were you getting 8 hours of sleep? Hey, was your nerve flow between your brain and your immune organs and systems, was that 100% or was it compromised? You know, were you eating a lot of sugar? You know, hey, have you been having stinking thinking lately? You know, right. Did you have anguish? Did you have resentment in your mind, in your body? Because those things do manifest themselves within your body. You know, what was your thinking like? What was your attitude like? You know, were all these things at the top level? You know, was your sleep on? Was your exercise on? Was your diet on? And probably not. It somehow, for all of us, we might have just had some compromises, and that left our immune system down here instead of up here. So bang, you know, versus somebody else in that moment, you know, may have their immune system function because they were hitting on all cylinders up here. And, you know, so they had exposed the same bug, but, you know, they didn't come down with it. So therein lies accepting responsibility. It's like, well, you have control over your diet, your exercise, your nutrition, your sleeping, you know, going to the chiropractor, going to the gym. You have control over those things. So why not focus on that versus blaming and acting as a victim? You know, when if it's John's fault, then there's nothing you can do. But if it's right. You own your own, you know, immune system, your own health, your own mindset, well, you can do something about that. You know, so it's a very empowering position to take responsibility. But first, you have to take that responsibility. Say, hey, listen, my body is made by God. My body is a self-healing, self-regulating entity that if I give it everything it needs, it's going to be powerful. Flourish. It's going to be, it'll flourish. Not only will I, you know, get sick less often or perhaps not at all. I haven't been sick for myself 18 years, but that's not an accident. It's, you know, because I want to, you know, be the best version of myself. You know, I do all the things that I coach my patients to do as well. And they find themselves, if they follow that, you know, regimen, same thing, you know, very rarely do they get sick. And, you know, and if they happen to, they bounce back quickly. So,
right.
So again, it's an act of taking responsibility for your own health and the responsibility, not only for you, but also of your family.
Yeah. It's a great message for business people. We are a business show, but other people, if you don't have your health as a business owner, as a business person, you lose money flat out. You're out sick. So I love that message. Listeners, re-listen to this. Listen to what he just said in his last 2 or 3 minutes. We got a few minutes left. I do want to delve in. We talked earlier before the show about your favorite book, and you told me some great stories. Let's talk a few minutes about your favorite book and why.
Well, you know, first, you know, obviously the Bible, you know, and we're talking about mindset in the Bible. Let me give you a verse, and it's Philippians 4:8. You know, which is, you know, for all my brothers and sisters, I tell you, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, if whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, contemplate in such things. I mean, there's your mindset, right? You know, we've been talking about that the last few minutes, so it's biblical. You know, other thing, you know, about, you asked me, you know, my book, right? So I'll give you a more recent book. And I think you probably, hopefully all the listeners have already read Napoleon Hill's book, Think and Grow Rich. Amazing book. Definitely recommend reading if you haven't read that already. But I believe it was just last year, there's a new book that is called The Positive Side of the Street by Napoleon Hill. Now, this is a book that is made from a compilation of his public lectures after he retired. So if you don't know the backstory of Napoleon Hill, it's precious. I guarantee that if you like Think and Grow Rich, this is going to be, you know, way better for you. You'll get to get the real backstory on what really occurred with Napoleon Hill and his mentorship and, you know, you know, what he had done and accomplished in his lifetime. And the messages and the mindset is actually laid out in it, the newest version of his book. So definitely a must read as far as I'm concerned for just about anybody, but certainly business owners.
Yeah, I love that. And we got running a little time here. And I know me and you, Dr. Martinez, could talk for hours. We do. Sometimes I make your patients late because I get my adjustment. We talk for a little bit. I get a little guilty, but I go, no, I'm not guilty because I'm learning so much from you. So I want to end the show, as always do, with something, a business tip or a tip that you can give the audience that's helped you be the successful chiropractor and successful man that you are today.
Yeah, being humble. You know, as I said in the earlier portion, you know, take the time to, you know, develop yourself, you know, to make sure that you have the energy and mental and spiritual fortitude for success. And that takes time. It takes some effort and energy, but it's worth it. You know, I promise you, you were at the beginning of the year. A lot of people have New Year's resolutions, and most of them revolve around health. But I got to tell you, if I can leave you with anything, I'm going to give you some leverage for you and even your family. And that is, you're only as good as your health. You know, you can have all the money in the world, all the wealth, all the things you desire. But gosh, if you're not healthy and well, you're not going to enjoy any of it. So when making those resolutions or sticking to those resolutions, I want you to think of who benefits from your energy and health. Who? Is it your wife, your children, your employees? You know, when you're the best version of yourself, mentally, spiritually, and physically, who really benefits from that? And I would venture to say everybody you come in contact with, right? And conversely, if your health is in the can and you're not mentally well, physically well, spiritually well, who's taken down by that? Who has it? Who is ill affected by that? And then that's, to me, is a very painful thing to think that someone would have to care for me, or that I wouldn't be able to play with my kids or my grandchildren. I wouldn't be able to care for my wife, that she would have to care for me. So to me, putting health as a priority, as a number one priority, is really putting everybody else at a priority. So if you can link your goals, especially your health goals, to helping others, I promise you it'll be easier, because now it's really being obedient. Now it's just being obedient to serving others. So, because everyone deserves you. You deserve you at your best. You really do. Each and every one of your listeners, you deserve you at your best. And guess what? Everybody you come in contact deserves you at your best as well. It's a loving, serving, giving act to humanity when you take care of yourself and you become the best version of yourself. So it's never anything selfish, but if you can link your goals, your aspirations, desires, especially when it comes to health goals, to helping others, oh my gosh, it you know, putting your feet on the floor, getting out to the gym, eating some healthier food becomes easier. It's not easy. It's just easier, because now you're doing it for others. And, you know, that's a testament to, you know, God's will for us on earth. You'll do way more, especially you moms. You know, you'll do way more for someone else than you will yourself, your children, your husband sometimes. So God bless you for doing that, but please make sure you're doing it for yourself so that you really can be the best version of yourself.